We're speaking now with Veronica Knowlton. She's a new managing director of the Panda Theater. Veronica, thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Thanks for coming out.
And also Josh Meager, he is the new facilities manager. Josh, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Well, this is an introduction to the community. So why don't we start with you, Veronica? Give us the short story on your background.
I don't think there's anything short about my story, but I grew up in California, started working at county fairs, learned pretty much every aspect of large event management, from box office to accounting to concessions to insurance. I accepted a position at the North Idaho State Fair in March of 2021, moved to Coeur d'Alene, was there through their fair season, and the managing director position became available. I applied, went through the gauntlet that was their interview process. It was very thorough, and was brought on full-time in September. And I've been having a blast ever since.
Okay. Josh, how about your short story?
There's a lot to talk about, but the shortest version I can give you. I'm originally from Missoula, just outside of Missoula, actually. Moved around a lot growing up. I ended up coming full circle back to Missoula for college, and I found the music industry. I pursued every opportunity I could, had a chance to work with some very talented people in the entertainment industry, and then COVID hit and unfortunately shut everything down. Did some reevaluating on my priorities in life and found my way in Sandpoint, and happy to be here, but then I also discovered the opportunity to jump on board with the Panda Theater and also went through the gauntlet of the interview process and was happy to do it because I was awarded the technical and maintenance coordinator position here at the theater.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I was one of the community members that was in on the interview process, and you, like, were two of the top candidates, so it was almost like a double win for us to get you both on board, I think, and speaking
I
on
agree.
Behalf of the community.
Josh has been here, is this your second week?
This is week number two.
He's already proven his weight in gold.
Yeah. And Josh, we're only going to have you for a few minutes here at the top of the interview, but how do you size up the pan? It's an almost 100-year-old building, and with any building that age, you know, there's a lot of maintenance issues.
There certainly are maintenance issues. I'm finding more of them every day. But the truth of the matter is I've had the opportunity to work in historical theaters in the past. I know how important they are to the community. And quite frankly, really all it is an opportunity to get in here and continue to revitalize a staple in the community of Sandpoint. Mm-hmm. And so there are definitely some things. We currently have the Little Panda Theater roof being worked on as we speak. There are a lot of other projects underneath that roof that we've been trying to tackle or at least prepare for. Veronica and I have been discussing some things. The board has also been bringing some stuff to my attention. So trying to just get all our priorities straight. And, you know, of course, fundraising is always essential to something like this, but we're doing what we can, and I think we've got a bright future ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. And you're replacing Bill Lewis, who was in this position for almost since the Panda came into community ownership.
Yes.
Big shoes to fill.
Yeah. And is Bill available to you to help figure things out?
Absolutely. I've talked with him a few times here and there. He's made himself 100% available to me. You can tell that he definitely was living and breathing the Panda for a very long time and is very passionate about this building and what it has to offer. And so, yeah, he's made himself available pretty much at any time.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine that in your position, you do a lot of things hands-on, but there are things that take a specialist to do, like, for instance, a plumbing or a roofing job. So how will you delineate between the stuff that, hey, I can do that and handle it, and the stuff where you might recommend to Veronica that, you know, we need to hire somebody to handle this particular kind of job?
Well, like you said, there's a lot of very specific things that it takes a tradesman to be able to do. You said roofing, perfect example. I'm no roofer. I've done roofing projects before, but I'm no roofer by any means. And considering how important it is to this theater and the longevity of its structure, stuff like serious plumbing or electrical issues, roofing issues, you know, we reach out and keep our community involved and make sure the job's done right, essentially. You know, there's little things that I can do here and there, but the reality of the situation is, like I said, a lot of stuff that this building needs true tradesmen. And so we source that out.
Mm-hmm. So it probably will be news to some of the folks listening to this that the little theater roof is being repaired. You know, as you mentioned, as we speak, they're in here right now. So what's the prognosis for the little theater roof? Is this going to be a job that will keep it for a long time into the future, or is this more temporary?
As far as I know, this is a permanent fix for this roof. They tore it off. Just like anything, you know, one problem leads to the next. The company that we have on board has been spectacular every step of the way, from my understanding. They are tackling the unforeseen problems, and I think that once they're done here in the next couple of days, it'll actually be completed and sturdy for a while.
Yeah. Well, great. That's what we really want. So... Well, Josh, anything else? I know you have other stuff you got to get off to do, but anything else that you want to tell the community?
I'm just happy to be a part of the community itself, but especially, you know, the entertainment industry and getting to provide these opportunities here at the Panda. It's a pretty special opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Well, folks are going to see a lot of you in the future, folks that come to the Panda, I'm sure. So thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Veronica, with the Panda shutting things down, during that interview process you mentioned, you didn't get to experience any shows in the Panda prior to interviewing here.
Yes.
What was the first time you visited the Panda, and what were your first impressions?
My first time visiting the Panda was the third final round of my interview, and walking across the street, I parked on the bank side of town. Walking across the street, I was instantly enamored by the uniqueness of the architecture. It stands out than all the other buildings on Main Street. It's one of those feelings, I remember it so vividly, but I don't know how to describe it. And then walking inside and seeing the lobby and the painted ceilings, walking through the auditorium with the original walls and the grand sweep that leads to the stage, seeing the original curtains. I'm a huge lover of old stuff. I spend way too much time in antique stores. And so it kind of just felt so good to be in a living, breathing building that's approaching 100 years old. It was amazing. I still love it.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing because you can consider that there have been several generations of people that grew up in Sandpoint, that the Panda is, you know, it's baked into who the community
yes.
is, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a culture that is just fostered here. We touched on it in the membership meeting. It is such a pillar of the community, and it's more than just residents of Sandpoint. It's people in Coeur d'Alene. When I accepted this position and moved up here, I had so many friends in Coeur d'Alene. Oh, I remember this performance or going to my niece's recital. And I think it is larger than Bonner County. It is really the Panhandles Theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Panhandle of Idaho, that's where Panda comes from, the name.
Well,
you mentioned, and it was just last night as this is being recorded, that the Panda had its annual meeting. There was actually a very good turnout. I counted a bit more than 50 people in the room, including the board members. And in that big auditorium, it didn't feel like a lot of people.
Correct.
But I've been to a lot of nonprofit annual meetings that have a half a dozen people at them.
Oh, wow.
To get that many people in for an annual meeting, these are basically just community members that have an interest and a stake in the Panda in some fashion. Yeah. What did you take away from the annual meeting?
The opening line of my manager's report was the Panda is contagious with passion, and that's what I took away. Lots of community involvement and stakeholders wanting to give their feedback because the Panda means so much to them. And I hope that I'm able to give a sound set of ears and receive all the feedback throughout my course of being managing director here.
You know, that's it's kind of a double-edged sword, or more than that, because you will get feedback that's at odds. Some people have one idea, and somebody else may have a different idea kind of opposing that. How do you see your role as managing director to sort that out and come to a decision? For instance, I think the thing right in front of us right now is how to deal with the pandemic and the safety precautions that should be in place for
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And I want to make policies and decisions that are good for the theater, that are then also good for our clients and promoters, and that also benefit the community of Sandpoint. It's a three-pronged approach, and there are a lot of verbal feedbacks on each of the prongs. And to be honest, I don't know that I have found a good balancing act between the three of them, but that's how I've approached decisions and policies, is what's good for the theater, what's good for our clients, and what's good for the community. Mm-hmm. So I'm still trudging through that balancing act.
Well, that balancing act goes on as long as you're in your seat,
yes,
I'm sure.
It will be larger than COVID, but COVID is right now the main.
So what is the current Panda policy for shows that are being held in the theater?
Yes, so clients who are using the facility for events have two event formats. If they are not requiring proof of vaccine or negative COVID test, we are remaining, the auditorium will be kept at 50% capacity. If they are requiring proof of vaccine or negative COVID test, we are allowing full capacity at 500 guests.
Mm-hmm. So for example, I know the Shook Twins have a concert coming up in just a couple weeks, and they are requiring proof of vaccination or a test, recent test.
Yes.
But you'll have other clients, as you say, you know, other groups that are performing in here that might have a different, like POAC.
POAC is a great example. They have elected to stay with the 50% capacity, no proof of vaccine or negative COVID test. Shook Twins is Saturday night just after a POAC performance, and they are requiring documentation. And from the theater's perspective, what's interesting to me is there are people attending both events that are frustrated at that event's policy, but they're still attending. Shook Twins ticket sales have been right on par with prior years, even with the new requirements. And then kind of similar testament to POAC. And so I think that it's a really good opportunity for the community to exercise their feedback, but also understand that we're doing the best we can as presenters of events. Mm-hmm.
Trying to keep people safe.
Exactly.
At the annual meeting last night, Caitlin Shook was there, and she brought up the fact that they want to be responsible to the people that come. They don't want to expose their audience and fans to a potential illness. So that's why they have taken the proof of vaccination route.
Yeah, and there is a moral obligation, no different than making sure that my emergency exits remain unblocked and that our fire alarm system works. I think that we are so used to fire and evacuation processes. This is just another element that us as a venue, we have to take into account on what is our moral obligation to the community, that third prong of decision-making processes.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions that came up last night, or just a point of discussion, was how you become a Panda member. And currently, I think the bylaws even state you're a member if you give a donation, volunteer, or come to any show.
Buy a ticket to any
show. That qualifies you as a member, and you're eligible then to vote at the annual meeting, for instance. Mm-hmm. Is that policy going to continue, do you think? Or I mean, that's actually baked into the bylaws right now.
That is in our bylaws. It is a great conversation. That was one of my first conversations I had with the board when I was brought on. Was planning this membership meeting. So my second question was, well, who is the membership? How do you become a member? With the Panda being a community-owned theater, I am working with the board. They are going through the governance process of changing their bylaws, updating their bylaws. And that is one piece that I will work very closely with them on, is finding some type of definition for our membership that makes sense for a community-owned theater. I don't know that if you are passionate enough and you have a big enough invested stake, I think that you shouldn't have to give a financial contribution to vote on our board of directors. And so what our current bylaws state is you are 100% right, but I, moving forward, would like to redefine that and have a better community fit for a community-owned theater.
Yeah, and fundraising has always been, and in the future, who knows, it may be even more important.
Yes.
As a part of the business model for a performing arts venue.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but let's go back to the annual meeting that was just last night. Two new board members were elected.
Yes.
Tell us just who they are and just a little bit about them.
Jimmy comes from...
Jimmy Naslock.
Yes. He is... I think he comes from Southern California, but he has had, I believe, a house in Sandpoint for the last 20 years-ish. Moved up here full-time about 2 or 3 years ago and started a Idaho film production company. I don't remember the
title. Idaho Film Company.
That's what it is. Wow. And so he has been working on producing a few films locally, one of which is slated to be screened next year for a fundraiser. So I'm very excited to have him on board with his film background. And then Robert Chipman has lived here, I believe, the last 10 years. He works at Lighthouse, so he's in their marketing department. And so I'm very excited to start picking his brain on ways to boost our online presence, social engagements, marketing emails. Very excited to have him on board as well.
And I think he mentioned in part of his background, he's been doing some screenwriting.
Yeah. We interviewed the candidates over 2 to 3 weeks ago, and so I can't remember particulars on that, but yes, he did have some theater involvement. I think both of them are going to be huge assets to our board.
Were there more candidates?
Yes, we interviewed, I believe, 9 candidates for board positions. We still have a few openings open, so we are continually to accept applications. Yes, interviewed 9. 2 of them made it to the recommendation for last night.
Okay. And another thing that you have put a shout out for is more volunteers.
Yes.
Kind of across the board of the stuff that the Panada needs volunteers for.
Yes. We always need volunteers, from ticket sales to on-site events the night of. This morning, talking with Josh, we're maybe looking for some backstage hands. Volunteers come learn rigging and lighting and sound in this. We are working on a communication plan to reach out to some high schools and theater groups to see if they have experience being on stage, but is there anything that we can help teach the younger generations as it relates to business management or backstage, kind of the off the screen tasks that go in with being a performing arts center.
So there you go, folks. If you want to get involved with the Panada, give a call. Why don't you drop us your phone number here?
Yes, it is 208-255-7801. Our office is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can also leave us a contact us form on our website, and that goes straight to my email box. I usually get back to you within 24 hours.
And it's panada.org for the website. Okay, I want to take the last part of our talk here about what you see for programming for the Panada going forward. I mean, that's probably a new arena for you, figuring out how to put together programming that will serve the needs of the community as well as produce revenue for the theater. And movies have historically made up an important part of the fair that's offered by the panel itself. Mm-hmm. But movies are really facing a tough road right now. Theater attendance for movies has gone down dramatically. Pandemic being, of course, the big factor there. But the industry's changing too. With all these big screen TVs and streaming services, it's really cut into the movie-going audience. You know, what do you foresee for movie programming for the Panda?
It's a great question, and I think our largest advantage is we are not a first-run movie theater. We are not competing with new releases on Netflix. We are not competing with the cinema at the mall. I am working on a Christmas series that will probably launch in the next 2 weeks, so watch our website for that. But what you can't get in your living room, you can get at the Panada. Christmas series, one of the films that we are showing is going to host an ugly Christmas sweater contest. You can get that in your living room, but you're only going to get it with your handful of immediate friends. Why not come out, join everybody else? Bring out your worst sweaters. I'm going to be one of the judges. I'm very excited. And so while it is a weakness in the industry, movies with the changing landscape, I think that it is a huge benefit to the Panada because we offer something that you can't get at a movie theater. I don't know of any 100-year-old movie theaters in the area, let alone spaces that are hosting more of an event and an experience rather than just a film. Partnering with POAC and the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force and reaching out to guest speakers, I think that there's an element of providing more than just 90 minutes of screen time, and that's one of my biggest goals for programming is whether it's a live performance or a film, it needs to be more than just what's on stage or the screen. Mm-hmm.
So the idea is to, you know, provide an experience that's that includes things that are not just a film, but a talk or an event like an ugly sweater thing.
Oh,
with a winner or a loser.
Oh,
I'm not sure what that would be. Winner or loser? If you have an ugliest sweater.
If it's the ugliest, you're technically winning, but maybe it's not an award you're proud of type of thing.
Yeah, maybe. But I know
it's like losing at fantasy football, right?
Yeah. Years ago, we used to have a series called the Global Cinema Cafe. And Karen Bowers, the longtime manager of the theater, probably has told you about that. And that combined movies with specific cuisine that you could get at some of the restaurants in town.
So we are Thursday, November 11th through Sunday, November 14th. We have revived the Global Cinema Cafe. We will be screening The Farewell. It is a very heartwarming movie about a family in New York, and their grandmother still lives in China, and she is diagnosed with cancer. And it is taboo to talk about illness. So they host a fake wedding and they rile the troops and everyone heads back to China to spend kind of one last hurrah with grandma. And it looks delightful. Yeah. I think it'll be a great film.
And so the cuisine you'd pair with that would be?
Thai Nigiri across the street.
Right.
So we have a film slated for December. I'm waiting on approval for licensing, but I am working on hosting the Global Cinema Cafe once a month as our calendar allows.
Mm-hmm. All right. A lot of people will be happy to hear
that. Yes, yes.
It was always a really fun event. What other sorts of programming aside from movies do you see the Panada pursuing or really trying to foster within the facility?
Live performances. We have Young Frankenstein coming in February, and I think that will hit a very fun demographic. You know, the Follies is traditionally in March. That's always a great turnout. It is along the movie realm, but we're in the talks of hosting three film festivals before June 1st. Banff, obviously, being the largest one. And then we're also bringing back the Archery Film Festival and Fly Fishing as well. So I think that will have good turnout. I was on the phone this morning with some potential Shakespeare, jazzy Shakespeare programming. We'll see if we can get that routed. But I think it's finding a balance between screen time and stage time.
Mm-hmm. sorry, knocked something down here. So with the changes you see in the overall performing arts sphere, the industry, if you will, there've trends like the whole movie thing that you talked about that are impacting a lot of performance spaces negatively. But do you see opportunities too within this changing trends that are occurring? Do you see maybe, okay, movies may not bring as large a crowd as they once did, but that opens up a possibility that maybe there's more demand for live performances.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, and I think that getting creative with our event structure, I had this idea the other day, it's kind of not totally answering your question, but our floors need to be refinished and our seats need to be reupholstered. So we're going to have maybe a 2-week span where the auditorium is completely empty. So can we host Jazzercise? Can we host a yoga retreat? We have all this covered floor space. What type of large events can come into the theater and use a basically empty box for 2 weeks while everything's out? So I think that if you see a weakness, sit with it for a while and turn it into a strength. That's kind of been my approach the last 2-3 months here is, COVID is a weakness. How can I make it a strength? Global Cinema Cafe or Christmas programming. It's very easy to get disheartened by the fast pace changes that is in the entertainment industry right now. But if you take a minute, sit with it, you can often find a way to make it advantageous for you.
So one big topic of discussion and concern in the community has been the fate of the Little Theater, because the board at one point, they had a town meeting back in June, I believe it was, about the fate of the Little Theater. And what do you, how do you put the status of the Little Theater at this time?
I don't know that there has been much change in the status. The board, I was brought on in September, so to the best of my understanding, the board was given a fundraising objective by the end of the year. I am not making a recommendation either way. I'm waiting for the board to basically tell me how they're voting to proceed with the status of the Little Theater. So I would classify it as still pending. We are putting a roof on it. The building needs a roof regardless of what happens to it in the next year. So I don't know that there is a hard update on that one.
Okay. What's a personal ambition?
For the Little Theater?
Yeah,
for
you, Veronica. What would you like to see happen with the Little Theater?
I want to see it reach its full potential. Whether that's us keeping it and putting a new roof, new floors, new bathrooms, or that's us selling it and having some tea shop move in. Again, a lover of old things. You walk in and the whole left side of the building is exposed brick. It's beautiful. I just want to see it shine in all its glory. It needs a little TLC, but I think that it's going to make somebody, whether it's the Panada or privately held business, it just needs to sparkle again.
Just a couple more questions. Fundraising, always a big thing for any nonprofit group.
Yes.
And the Panda got hit particularly hard during the pandemic when it basically wasn't having any shows mm-hmm. there for a stretch of time.
Mm-hmm.
How does fundraising play into what you see as the revenue model for the Panda?
Huge, especially as we start to tackle capital improvements for the main theater, the floors, the seating, sprinkler system, HVAC. Events pay the events bill when you rent the theater. It covers our utilities costs, but it doesn't even put a drop in the bucket for capital improvements. And so I'm working with community members to kind of strategize what is a 3-5 year capital campaign to remodel all the improvements that need to be done before our centennial in 2027, not 1927.
Yeah, 1927 is when the place started.
Yes, yes.
Well, there's a good segue. 100th anniversary coming up.
Yeah.
In 2027. got any percolating ideas? I mean, that's 5 years out.
Oh, my goodness. So many percolating ideas. my first percolating idea is, well, I don't know where to begin. November 1927, we opened with 10-cent movie tickets. I kind of love the idea of hosting 10-cent movie tickets again next November. Maybe that dovetails into our membership meeting. So many. Every person that I host a tour with, I ask them, what do you want this lobby to look like? What is your ideal bar? I walk through the balcony with them. What's your favorite type of seats? I've been gathering little bits of inspiration from everybody I've met, and I think my biggest project is going to be remodeling the foyer, ticket box, concessions area, bar, and leading into the main auditorium. That's my biggest to-do list item. And then there's ancillary items like this wall back here. I want to expand the balcony to offer a private reception area for VIPs or large sponsoring clients. The bathrooms need remodeling. We're gonna start remodeling the dressing room to offer a better experience for our performers. There's so many projects, mm-hmm. So little time.
Yeah, and one idea on the whole lobby reception area, mm-hmm. does involve the little theater.
Yes, it does.
By opening a door that runs from mm-hmm. the lobby area into the little theater, which would give you a really big lobby.
So much room.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The lobby, frankly, it's almost unsafe when there's a big event going on. You probably haven't seen that yet, but you can have people in that front lobby.
Correct.
In an intermission where they're just packed in there shoulder to shoulder.
Correct.
And it's a great social thing in one respect, but it's a little bit too tight for comfort for a lot of people.
Yes, and it definitely goes back to that moral obligation I touched on earlier of if we're going to have a 500-seat auditorium, we have a moral obligation to provide comfortable lobby and concessions accommodations. Mm-hmm. And so definitely on my radar, takes time and money.
Mm-hmm. And that is where the community really gets to connect with each other mm-hmm. in those, you know, before and after event or intermission time chances to talk with new people or your old friends mm-hmm. that you're seeing there at those events. So, well, 5 years, get all kinds of cool stuff done here before that 100th anniversary.
I'm shooting for 4.5 because if you've ever worked on a construction project, I'm not working till my deadline.
Yeah, leave some margin.
Yes, yeah. margin.
Okay, well, Veronica Knowlton, a new managing director at the Panda Theater, anything else you want to throw out there to the listening public?
I can't wait to meet you. I've said it before in other interviews. I'm open to all feedback. It is a balancing act. I want to listen. I might not make you happy with my answer or decision, but it's your theater too, and I'm just happy to be along for the ride.
Well, Veronica, thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you so much.